Welcome to Planetary Conversations. I'm your host, Warren Bell. Each week I talk with experienced and knowledgeable guests from all backgrounds and walks of life as we explore ideas and actions that can restore the health of our planet and heal our relations with one another. Check out our website at voiceoftheshoeshop.ca, and you can find all our episodes on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. But first, we openly and freely acknowledge that we live and work in Shukapmakulu, the stolen, ancestral, and unceded lands of the Suquepic people. We in the settler community have a critical responsibility to do our very best to resolve this historical injustice in a way that is satisfactory to our Indigenous friends and neighbors. There's a lot of public discourse these days around AI, meaning artificial intelligence. Essentially, this means using computer-driven machines programmed to think in some fashion, to take on tasks mostly to do with seeking and collating information that would otherwise be laborious, painfully slow, and very challenging. The discourse starts with the observation that AI is a powerful tool and then moves on to discuss its enormous potential benefits, and eventually veers into warning of its enormous risks. I think it's clear that AI, like any other tool, is a neutral instrument. A shovel can be used to dig a useful hole in the ground, or as a weapon to whack somebody in the head and cause serious injury. And so it is with AI. We can use it to help in relationships between people, or we can use it to malign, distort, or disrupt. It's the consciousness of the person wielding AI that is the issue, not the technology itself. Today we have two guests who will share their story of using AI for a manifestly positive purpose, and that is to help visitors to a municipal website in Ontario navigate that website more easily and more quickly without having to learn a lot of jargon or go through multiple and confusing steps. Sherry Davidson is the Manager of Communications and Marketing for the City of Kawartha Lakes, and Christy Guthrie is the founder of Bright Light Digital and the co-developer of Municipal AI Software for Community Governments. Their story is one of a private sector business working with a public sector organization to use AI with a goal of achieving unmitigated good. And their shared story is a lesson about AI's promise when it's in the right hands. Sherry and Christy, welcome to Planetary Conversations.
Thanks, Warren. So happy to be here. Really appreciate you having us on today.
Thank you so much. It's an honor to be here.
Sherry, where is Kawartha Lakes and what is it? I know it's west of Peterborough.
That's very close, Warren. We are about 90 minutes northeast of Toronto. People love to come to Kawartha Lakes for their summer, fall, and more winter getaway.
And it's also multiple communities sort of rolled into one community. Lindsay, which is the town, the largest, it's something like 26,000 or something like that.
Yes. Bob Cajun is another community. We have Cobequonk, Fenland Falls, Woodville. There's at least 16 former townships were amalgamated in 2001, which means we're celebrating our 25th anniversary this year. The size of Lindsay is on its way to doubling. So we'll be looking at about 50,000 residents in Lindsay and well over 100,000 in Kawartha Lakes in less than a decade.
My goodness. Now, Christy, you're based in Kitchener-Waterloo and founding Bright Light Digital. Why don't you just give us a little background on that entity?
Yeah, I mean, it was almost 10 years ago now, if you can believe it. I'd been working in agency my whole life, big agencies, small agencies, and kind of had that moment that many of us do that said, man, if I'm going to work this hard, it needs to be for something that matters. And so I put out a shingle, started Bright Light, said, you know, I'm going to try to use my powers for good, and was focused then on content, websites, website copywriting, email marketing, that kind of stuff, primarily for nonprofit and mission-driven organizations.
That's actually right on your website. It says that's the goal of the organization. It's not just, you know, anybody who walks in the door. You have a specific target audience.
Yeah. And, you know, kind of over the last 9 years, I realized that local government slots in that category perfectly, right? Like local government is oftentimes the least, you know, paid attention to, but it has the most impact in terms of how you're living your life, your day-to-day life, the roads you drive on, the places you go, the parks you use, the water you drink. Like that's all local government stuff. And so, you know, somewhere along my communications and marketing journey, I said, you know, who fits in perfectly with with charities and mission-driven organizations is local government. And that's how I connected with Sherry.
Sherry, you also have a long history in marketing, management, all sorts of stuff. Why don't you just give a little bit of a trajectory for your background before coming to Kawartha Lakes?
Sure. So my career started in Toronto, where one of my first marketing opportunities was to take Toronto's first digital gaming company from startup and help them expand into world markets. And so that allowed me to cut my teeth on what is marketing and how do we do such a thing for a brand new product. And then from there, I transitioned into franchise marketing for a number of years. I was the national marketing manager for the UPS store and enjoyed the challenge there of working with over 300 business owners across the country who had poured their life savings into this opportunity to run a mail and pack and ship shop. And then practically overnight, that business model changed into a digital print shop, going head to head with the Kinko's and the Staples of the world, and how to help those business owners learn the new technology, the new model, and the best way to market and advertise on, you know, the most important business adventure of their life. So that was an important time in my career to learn working with people of all stripes and helping bridge the gap between new technology and being successful. So that was another period of my life. And then when I started at the city in 2016, that started, you know, my municipal career and also brought that challenge of how to reach and connect in a meaningful way with an audience as diverse as a community that has, like you mentioned, a high population of seniors, students, average working families, working with the media as part of our audience.
Yes.
And then, of course, we have 1,200 staff in a loop so that people can be tapped into their local government.
That's a lot of people. Now, I mentioned in the introduction that values matter and that AI is sort of a neutral technology, but what's going on in the head of the person using it or developing it is a critical thing. I want to just ask each of you if that says anything to you. Christy, you know, how values shape the use that you put artificial intelligence to.
Yeah, I mean, humans built AI and humans are inherently biased. And so bias is built into AI. And so, but we know that. So we have a unique opportunity to say, what are we training? What are we, you know, teaching this AI? I recently heard someone, she's an Indigenous woman from Alberta. She did a presentation on misinformation, and she was saying that misinformation isn't new, right? And so there's a lot of consternation around AI and it delivering misinformation, being a vehicle for misinformation. And what she was sharing with us is that misinformation has been around since the colonizers landed here.
Yes, the treaties of all the texts, the yes. Text treaties will tell you that, yeah.
And this is the first time, in her words, that it's like cis white men can't control the narrative. And so the problem feels new and it feels important. And she was saying she's excited that it's now hit this echelon of people because now change can happen. Mm-hmm. But it's just an interesting example, right, of how the way our society works and has worked is showing up in AI and in new ways to new eyes. Mm-hmm. But so is it a neutral tool? I think like it's inherently
susceptible to bias.
In a way, the way that humans are inherently problematic, yeah. but it's all, it's inherently like so full of opportunity in the way that humans are so full of opportunity.
Sherry, you went from the private sector, a fairly lengthy period of time working in the private sector, and in the public sector, you commented a moment ago that the diversity of people you deal with is right across the whole human spectrum, but also what they're wanting is something from the public service. What's the change in kind of atmosphere that you notice going from the private sector to the public sector in that regard?
I think it's a human need we're trying to meet, whether it is private or public. Our world wants what we want, and we want it now. And so the challenge at a local government level, and our local government is actually responsible for regional and local government services. So we're providing a double whammy, two in one. We have over 200 services that we deliver, from emergency services to waste management, human services, you name it. And so making sure that, again, the level of service and the level and speed of service has grown, that expectation has grown alongside the changes in our society that say you can now order anything from around the world and have it shipped to your house within 24 hours. You can now get an answer to any question online within 3 seconds. So that expectation, it does extend to local government. And I think that's one of the biggest struggles that we have, is that a lot of our technology, our platforms, our way of service delivery is slower to respond than a typical, private company.
It also covers a much wider range of possibilities and options, which is in itself a challenge. But I get back to a point I was making earlier about values and how values are important. The values you bring to the table when you're establishing or using a tool shape very much the kind of content and the process that's involved in the tool. And I want to let listeners hear a little bit about how values have been important for each of you. Let's start with Christy. I was interested to see that you had engaged in a study program for your master's in theological studies, which between 2022 and 2024. It's an interesting thing because that's not always associated with people who are in the business world. It's often a kind of an almost an atheistic or certainly agnostic kind of process. How does that fit in? And I would mention as well that you were involved with the Blue Seas Foundation. Yeah. And the coldest night of the year is a big fundraiser for the little community that
sure
I'm
is.
Broadcasting yeah. from. So talk about those kinds of parts of your life, because that was something that's obviously clear and important.
Yeah, I mean, I also have a recreation degree, so there's that.
There you are.
I
mean, little kids on swings.
The world is wide and it's vast, I think. I have a diverse background, and, communications is a diverse field, right? I think that's why I was attracted to it, because within an umbrella of communications, you can do so many things. Sherry's background is the same, right? Private sector, public sector, mm-hmm. digital, in-person, like all of that stuff. And I think the through line is, how do we use words or, messages to help people live the best lives? And what became clear to me over the last couple of years working in marketing and communications was that AI has a real opportunity to change the way in which we access, use, and share information. And so, I mean, I think like my theology and my recreation studies and my whimsical spirit, I think it's more like I'm a curious person. And I'm looking for opportunities to connect. And I think that's what Municipal's doing, our AI product. And I think that's like the relationship that Sherry and I have built up over time too, which is like, let's get curious about what each other does yeah. and how we can't come together in a way that can really deliver service. That we can I won't say redefine, but expand the what web accessibility means, and how we can really connect with residents based on the questions they have for government. And so thinking about AI as a tool and as a connector and a force for good.
Yes, and that's really obvious. I just point out that listeners can go to the Kawartha Lakes website. It's online. And try out their municipal AI app for themselves. It's an interesting experience and quite encouraging. Sherry, you have a wonderfully inspired relationship with another life form, the horse. And it didn't always, it was there in the background for a long time, but when you moved into your current home, which is an 85-acre farm, you really took that relationship to a whole new level from all I can understand. Why don't you describe that process and what, just to be straightforward, what do horses teach us as humans that is valuable for our relationships with other humans?
Wow, how long is the show? No, I'm thrilled that you're allowing me to speak to this.
Oh, I'm not. I'm forcing you to speak to it.
I love it.
It's central. It's central.
It's a big part of who I have become, and I have always had horses in my heart since I was 8 years old and started to ride. But it wasn't until I took my field training. So it's a certification course over the course of a year where I learned how much horses have to teach humans.
And for listeners to understand, facilitated equine experiential learning. It's a great acronym.
And boil it down, and what it really means is that when we are experiencing something, whether it be standing beside a horse, brushing, learning how to lead them in partnership, or simply approaching them with no agenda, that experiential learning is felt in our bodies, and it creates new neural pathways and connections to our authentic role in the world. And that can mean so many things. Every session is different, depending on the person and depending on the horse. We have seven right now, which one of the seven steps up to work with the person that day, I never know. And it's all based on energy. So people may come feeling one way. Often people come in today's world very anxious, busy mind, go, unsure really of where is baseline for me and what is most important for me. And after spending some time beside a horse, with a horse, they leave with a felt sense of, this is who I am and I've always been, and I have come home to who I am and where I'm going.
Your farm is called First Harvest Farm. And on the website, you had this to say: horses have special gifts to help humans learn to live life fully. That sounds like what you were just saying. It's they broaden our awareness of ourselves and make us more authentic.
They do. And, through supportive horse-guided learning exercises in time, people will process emotions that may have been stuffed down for years, release anxieties, past trauma, and find peace within themselves. And we see that people then feel their best and can live more authentically.
There's a medical school in New York State that actually used horses to help train medical students to be authentic. If a student said, no, I'm perfectly happy, everything's fine, the horse would respond as the person actually was. And so the outward statement, no, I'm okay, I'm relaxed, would be given the lie if the horse was there, because the horse would say one way or another, no, you're not there. You're not on top of things as the way you feel you are. Now, I want to comment on one thing that the community that the woman who started this facilitated equine experiential learning program, Wendy Golding, had developed, I was struck by the fact that it was all women. And Christy, your company, Bright Light Digital, is yourself and a woman who's a partner in the organization. I want to talk a little bit about what you see women growing into in terms of an expanded, more important role, especially in transformational projects, because I see it all the time. Christy, what do you see in that regard?
Yeah, I mean, I work with a lot of women, at Bright Light, exclusively women, and Carrie, my business partner, and lots of folks in municipal government tend to be women. And I've been blown away by the vision, the passion, the creativity, and the openness to collaborate that I've experienced, not exclusively with women, but absolutely with women. And I recently listened to a podcast, and it was talking about how it was one of the Shark Tank people from the US show, like Shark Tank, their Dragon's Den. Mm-hmm. And she was saying, women tend to lead with impact when they do their VC pitches. And I think that is an interesting thing, is that you can see and feel that that the women I surround myself with anyway are not just going to work to make a paycheck and come home, but that they're choosing paths and careers where they can put their skills and their gifts to work for good. And that is, I find it really energizing.
That's quite inspiring what you're saying, Christy. Sherry, what's your reaction to that?
Absolutely. Let's underline it, bold, and uppercase it. I'm with you, Christy, 110. And I would just add what I see from both a leadership perspective at the City of Kawartha Lakes and some of our new council members is that when women step into a leadership role, it's different, right? It's not what we've been taught is a leadership model. So it can be different. I think we're starting to, as a society, see that there are other ways of being successful. And it's not the traditional male-focused power dynamic. Mm. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but there are different ways that we can be successful. And to bring it back to the horses, the herd dynamics that I see play out every day and with people that come when they visit is that the herd is always functioning for the safety of the herd. So the greater good of the whole is more important than the leader getting what they want at that moment, or the leader setting the entire tone for the herd. It will actually be very fluid, change from moment to moment, based on what is best for the herd. And so I love that approach, and I really am working to bring that into other areas of my life as I see how healthy it is.
A friend of mine, Graham Dixon, who is a professor of leadership studies at Royal Roads University, talked about leadership at a conference which we put on about the breadth of healthcare. And he said the model really is leading from the center rather than leading from the front, you know, the traditional, you know, wave your sword and rush into battle kind of leadership is not very effective in today's world. Too complex, too many people have something to say that's useful. You can't just have one voice speaking for all. Now, when you guys met, it was a very inspiring event, an Instagram workshop. Now, I don't imagine people going to an Instagram workshop and saying, I want to meet somebody who I'm going to really work with for many years in the future. But that's what happened. What resonated between the two of you then? What you said, okay, we're kindred souls. Christy?
Well, you guys can't necessarily see Sherry right now, but she is a formidable person with such vision. I mean, she's blushing. This is what I mean. You can't see her. No, I've met a lot of people.
She disappeared from the screen temporarily.
And what I can say is that Sherry has vision and a courage that is rarely present in the same person. And so I think we instantly connected at on a professional level around, you know, communications and government comms and, you know, how to be effective, primarily on like the edge, right? So we were talking about social media and, you know, and you know how that's changing and where it's going and how to be effective in social media, and that, you know, turned into web and then that turned into AI. And yeah, she's she has a very strong municipal viewpoint. I've learned a lot from, but I think where our hearts connected was on this, like, this boldness and this, like, willingness to, not even willingness, this excitement to see what's next, to try something new, to be the first. yeah, backed up with, like, the knowledge and the capacity to do it well.
Sherry, as the visionary leader in the crowd.
Thank you, Chrissy.
It's true. It's true. I can't say enough good. That's the whole reason I'm here, is just to tell people how great Sherry is.
Well, it sounds like you've really been listening to the horses, Sherry. So you can tell us what they've told you about yourself.
Well, I have to say, you know, Chrissy came to the city at a time when we needed a lifeline, in that we knew we were building three new websites. It was a large capital project, very visible, very important to our community. We'd done all kinds of research on what should this site do for you? What do the current sites not do for you? What are the pain points? How can we move forward? And we had, you know, three checkboxes that we needed to do and get done with these sites. And as we got into the new technology that we were using, there were many improvements for visuals, design, user experience. But what became clear was the number one pain point was people can't find what they need on the websites. And it's not a case of it needs a better sitemap, it needs better writing, it needs better design. No matter what we did, and we certainly raised the bar across the board with the help of Christy's team and all of our staff team, people are still not going to be able to find what they need if they don't know what the form is called. They don't know what the service is properly named. They don't even know if they need a permit. So we needed an extra layer of intelligence. You can guess where this is going. but we also needed it to fit within the confines of our municipal structure, our legal concerns, and all the other things that we can get into. So it was really exciting to have Christy's team working with us to develop the websites. I guess that was an important part, was they were already an external partner who felt like an internal team, who really gave 110% and were with us as our partners. And when we heard that this was a possibility, this municipal AI, we knew we needed to do more and uncover where it could take us.
I can hear from both of you how important, first of all, a relationship is. If you understand each other and you have sort of mutual respect, that's a really good starting point. And there's also, when you're implementing what you were working on, those ways of looking at the world, you know, openness to new ideas, respect for all, because municipal governments are tasked with that role, challenging though it may be at times. I wonder if it was easier because it was a small community. I don't know if one of you wants to answer that or both. You know, Chrissy, you're working with a small town. Does that make it a more manageable project in some respects?
I don't think so. No. I mean, developing the product wasn't easy, was it? I mean, if I've made it look easy, then that's just because I'm good at my job. But it wasn't easy. Like, it was tough. And I don't know that a small municipality versus a large municipality have material differences apart from size. Like Sherry had talked about being both region and like upper and lower tier, you know, so they're doing everything from garbage, transit, snow plowing. They're doing recreation programs and boat launches, the museum. Like, they're doing a lot of stuff. It's a small community in, I will say, a name only, right? Like, it's quite vast.
Yeah.
And
covers the full range of human experience,
I'd say.
And that's everywhere. So it's just a question of scale, not basic content.
What we were like, as we developed the product, what we were looking for was for it to be a perfect hand and glove fit with municipal context. Mm-hmm. Both the content, like, what are the questions that people are searching? What is the information that's hard to find? And like, what are the workflows and the processes and what is the day-to-day life of someone who would be, you know, owning or managing this software over time look like? Because if either of those is off, it doesn't actually make for a very good product, right? So both has to do the heavy lifting to answer real specific municipally focused questions. And it has to fit within the work days and, like Sherry was saying, the legal requirements and the compliance requirements of the municipal context. So, I mean, in Sherry being our pilot client and Cortha Lakes being our pilot client, there was a lot of communication and collaboration and, you know, just even batting ideas around before testing around, like, what could this look like? What should this look like? Mm-hmm. Like, if we talk about values, like, what is actually valuable and how do we have, you know, the values that are inherent in a municipal government or municipal staff apparent or present in the actual artificial intelligence itself?
Sure.
So that was very exciting.
I just point out that listeners can go to the Kawartha Lakes website. It's online. And try out their municipal AI app for themselves. It's an interesting experience and quite encouraging. Sherry, we'll talk about the actual program and its nuts and bolts in a minute, but how did you bring it into the world of the government of Kawartha Lakes? You didn't just walk in one day and say, we're going to be doing this. Obviously, there's a learning process. There's an introductory process. How did that happen? What were the mechanism by which it was inserted into the life of the municipal administration?
Well, as any municipal product, particularly a digital technology product, it went through a rigorous procurement process where it was held up against other bidders who have similar but very different technology to make sure this was the solution we needed. It was vetted by a team of in-house and external lawyers who are experts at AI to make sure that we had the right safeguards built in. And in fact, yeah, this was the top solution for that, for assuring that any yellow light queries would clearly be off-ramped to the right staff department and that there wouldn't be a temptation by the product to deliver an answer that could get the municipality or the resident into hot water. So there was that piece. There was our IT team being very forward for innovation while still acknowledging our municipality did not have a formal AI policy. So we were in our uncharted territory and we were in the process of educating a pilot staff team. I was one of them. You know, our lawyers and our IT and our director and our CAO were all very AI open, but this was our first municipal AI implementation. So it had to go well. And I think underpinning all of those processes and safeguards was the value of trust. If I hadn't had the trust in Christy and her team from some of our prior projects, I don't know that I would have proceeded as planned and in such a short timeline as we did.
You know, what you bring out again is the notion of relationship. And you have to know somebody well enough to know that you're not getting something. But it's the idea that you understand each other in ways that are not just technological. They're ways about, you know, human nature and the things that matter in life and that kind of thing. Now that the groundwork has been prepared within the municipal structure, Christy, what did you bring?
What we've created in Municipal AI is an AI intelligence layer that you can add to your website, which unlocks your content. At its most zoomed out, that's what it is. What does that mean? Well, it's AI-powered search that embeds directly into municipality's existing site. So this could go in Salmon Arm. This could go in the City of Toronto. Doesn't matter what website you're on. You don't need a new website. We embed this search bar directly into your existing site. It scrapes the site. So it gathers all of the content that's on your public-facing website, stuff that you've already published and shared with the world. And it uses the AI, the intelligence in the AI, to understand what it means. So now when people go to a website and they search for something like, how do I report a car that's blocking my driveway? What's the largest size shed I can build before I need a permit? How do I get a marriage license? Like any real question that people have, the AI is smart enough to understand the question and is smart enough to find a real answer.
You obviously told people this is what it was, and then you said, here's our interface. When you use the word scrape, that's a very evocative word, scraping the municipal coffers. At one point, you were telling me when we were talking before that municipal sites are a big filing cabinet full of all sorts of stuff with folders and information of all sorts crammed in. Maybe it's actually more like 20 filing cabinets. But anyway.
Yeah, well, that was the before, right? Which is a lot of people's present. And I think this is where the problem became so clear to me in working with Sherry is that you can have the best possible team working on the best possible tech, and it still doesn't work, right? Because how do you fit 300, 500, 600, sometimes over 1,000 pages into 5 or 6 top nav items, right? The backyard chickens page has nowhere to go that makes it easy to find. So for municipal websites, if you think about it like a big filing cabinet, and anyone who's listening is probably nodding along because they've tried to look for, you know, information about building a fence or having a backyard fire or, you know, reporting a pothole. If you go into your municipal site, you're metaphorically like opening a drawer, flipping through some like files, pulling it out, scanning it, looking for your info. Nope, that's not it. Pull out another file. Because the way that on-site search works in a traditional website is that it's matching keywords. Yeah. But the keywords that I'm using to ask a question like, what do I do if my shed is on the property line? Is it grandfathered in? Is it not? Can I build? Do I need a permit? Those questions, from a keyword standpoint, don't match the way the permit language on a website is. Even something as simple as like, when is garbage day? The computer metaphorically glitches. It doesn't actually glitch, but it's like it can't match that string of keywords with an answer to that question. Well, some municipal sites that I've looked at, it takes 6 clicks from when is garbage day to actually finding a calendar, which I still have to find, you know, my address on. So the AI is what's unlocked that problem. That problem isn't just, oh, I can't find information on my website, right? That's the presenting problem. But if we get into the thing beneath the thing, it's that, what does it mean when I can't find information, when I can't find an easy answer? One, I'm maybe going to not sign my kids up for swimming lessons. I may be going to not go to the parade. I may be going to not get a permit and build this thing with faulty electrical wires, right? There's like that level. But then there's also this level where it's like instantly building a bit of friction or distrust between searcher and government. What are we even paying these guys for? Mm-hmm. Can't even find anything. I've heard this. They bury this stuff deep so that we can't find it. Right? They're going out of the way to make sure that this is unfindable. And that is what I think at the heart of what this AI tool solves is it's connecting, right? It's connecting resident with the services the government offers. It's connecting resident with the people who are public servants who are going to work every day and busting their butts to deliver awesome programs and service. This is just that connection point. Mm-hmm. And I can't wait to see what the data bears out as this, you know, sweeps the country and starts unlocking all of this content. I mean, it's not just the website content. Uh-huh. It's also like council content, right? There's a lot of stuff that happens in council that gets posted on the website that's relatively hard to find, again, from a structure standpoint. It's housed in a PDF that lives in a calendar. And if you don't know it's there, if you don't know exactly what to look for, even if you're looking for that type of information, your paths will never cross. But now with this AI, it understands the question and it understands the content that lives on the website and it connects them. And that in and of itself is quite unique, right? Because a chatbot or an AI overlay, like any of these bigger, less specific, like our product is for municipalities. And so we've tuned, we've trained, we've worked with the AI to understand what are the questions and what are the answers and how do we get these synapses to connect? Because like every search, Sherry's reputation and my reputation are on the line, right? So we care a lot about the answers that get served up to these questions.
So what you're talking about, it seems to me, is language, and language going from colloquial personal language to the impersonal, descriptive, and somewhat localized language that's found in a structure, whether it's a scientific research station or it's a municipality or it's even a religious community. All there's a language that is sort of the local language, if you like. And it sounds to me like what you're trying to do is be as universal in the language that people can use to get into the information base that is available through the municipality. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, that's an interesting way to think about it. Yeah, it's like people don't necessarily have information needs. They have lived questions. Mm-hmm. I can't get out of my driveway because there's a car parked in front of it. I don't care what the bylaw is. I don't have an information need. I have a direct question that needs an answer.
Sherry, you're smiling. It sounds like you recognize what Christy is describing in spades.
Indeed. And it's really that extension of our customer service team when they're not at work to answer the phone. So we're seeing that the after hours calls and weekend calls are attributing to about 30% of total queries on the tool. So people are, you know, these things happen. There's a car in my driveway. It's 10 o'clock at night. What do I do? The bylaw officer's not on call. The customer service team's not on call. But municipal AI is. Hmm. And they can tell you, yes, you can report it. Here's the form. You know, these are our hours of our bylaw officers. They'll get back to you within the next business day. And so that at least you know someone's going to be on it. I've taken the action I need to as a resident. I can go back and go to bed, you know? So it's that builds the trust in the local government, which is super important. Sure. And, you know, ever more important, it seems. You know, the ratings for trust in governments of all levels are dropping quite rapidly. So building that trust, accountability and transparency, those are, you know, very important values for our entire staff in council. And so it may sound trivial to say, you know, if I can't find what I need for my garbage pickup in, you know, one click or less, I don't trust my local government. You know what? A few of those add up month over month for various of the 200 services. And before you know it, you don't really feel like you're getting your money's worth or that you're heard or understood by your government.
For sure, so. For sure. And if you look at it at say, a large urban center, which has, you know, 500,000 or 5 million citizens, and this kind of mistrust or dissatisfaction or confusion is mounting everywhere, I can see how it would, and I'm sure you can too, how it would contribute to a sort of malaise in society at large. Nobody thinks that the leaders are responsive. Nobody believes that the leadership organizations, the municipal and civic governments structures, are actually paying attention to them. And it's only because they can't wade through this giant filing cabinet that that the people who work in the filing cabinet department have trouble wading through themselves, even at times. So it seems like it's a sort of a social change process that you're engaged in, making people know that they can connect to their governance system, and that makes them more comfortable with the system itself. I just point out that listeners can go to the Kawartha Lakes website, it's online, and try out their municipal AI app for themselves. It's an interesting experience and quite encouraging. I found a study that had been done. MNP, this giant accounting, Canadian accounting firm, had done a study last year. They looked at 282 municipal operations, both urban and rural, and they described exactly what you were saying, Christy, that AI will be used to improve outcomes, streamline operations, and strengthen their connection with the communities they serve, so that the relationship between the governance community and the community at large becomes stronger and more meaningful. They also said that cybersecurity and data privacy are paramount, and maybe we can close out on a little discussion of that. People don't want their names to be gathered in, and you know, everybody has this nightmare of some product seller who is not a municipality but is selling them a widget, getting up to them, "Oh, by the way, we heard you're interested in this." That's one part of it. But the other part is the data in the repository of the municipality. You don't want to have it being corrupted by people with all sorts of wild and crazy conspiratorial ideas plugging into what you're doing. Why don't you talk, Sherry, about that issue? Because that is something that is important for you working in a municipal setting.
Absolutely. I'll talk to the importance, and then Christy, I know, can talk to the solution that we came up with. So yes, that the data integrity, the protection of personal information were front and center for all of the parties at the table when we procured this solution. And we took the conservative route, at risk of not being able to answer some question. It was more important to take the conservative route. And I'll let Christy explain what that looks like.
Over to you, Christy.
Yeah, I mean, so we've engineered this for public sector, right? So it has everything, the public sector and the folks who are engaging with the public sector, not only want but deserve, right? So all of the data is, we're a Canadian-owned company, and all of your data stays in Canada. So this is really important. Elbows up, right? Like you're buying Canadian, the data stays in Canada, stored in Canada. But beyond that, right, we have we're only collecting information that's public, or and talking about information that's publicly available. Nothing behind a password, nothing behind a paywall. So the municipality has already said everything that the AI can say. The municipality has already said it's on their public-facing websites. We don't collect any IP addresses. We don't collect anything that's identifying on the user. And if the user, let's say, Warren, you go on and you put in, here's my property tax bill number and my credit card. Can you pay this? You know, AI can do anything. Pop that into the search bar. We have auto PII detection. PII stands for personal identifying information. Mm-hmm. So the AI recognizes at the source level that is not information we want to store and redacts it. So it never even gets redacted into or logged into the chats. And there's tons of guardrails. There's medical, legal, real estate guardrails. So if you say, I think I'm having a heart attack, what should I do? Or, you know, how can I get around the waterfront rules? Or, you know, what are some unstated high value real estate opportunities that I can get in the ground floor? If you ask it those types of questions, it's going to give you a standardized answer. The same thing that if you called the city and asked them, they would give you the same type of answer. It also just has like a general appropriateness filter. So like if you type in, why is our mayor such an idiot? It's not gonna say, great question. Here's the decisions our mayor has made over the last year. So it's just really smart. It's meant to feel both like in the language, but also in the security, like the same type of security that you would find if you're actually dealing with the city themselves. They're not going to accidentally share your birth date with somebody or, you know, anything like that.
You know, I can't help but feel that this is sort of democracy in action. This is democratizing information and the sharing of information between people who have in a municipal government a lot of useful information in their filing cabinet. Their giant filing cabinet is full of useful information for citizens. And citizens, if they know that that's what they can tap into, are going to say, well, let's go there. Let's go and ask. And ultimately, that means that they become more involved in civic affairs, inevitably. And when that happens, then you lower the tempo, the temperature, rather, of this kind of sometimes overheated discussion about, you know, you can't trust anybody because they're a bunch of crooks and all those politicians are just trying to do is rip everybody off. All these kinds of, you know, don't trust this politician or this leader or, you know, the municipal government never does anything that helps you. It always just puts roadblocks in the way. I think it's really a new era using this valuable tool of artificial intelligence to make people's lives better, because that's where you're starting from. That's the starting point of the work you're doing. So I want to thank you, Sherry and Christy, for being with us today and sharing with our listeners what I think is very germane to the present and future of societies around the world, but also it's happening in a gathering of people in South Central Ontario, the home of Kawartha ice cream, Kawartha Lakes ice cream, which we didn't talk about the whole program, but I've actually tasted and it's very good. So thank you very much for bringing this to everybody's attention. It's really useful information for us all to have. Thank you.
Our pleasure, Warren. I'll say we're coming to your shores. We'll be live in Seashelt, BC in June.
Fantastic.
Thank you, Warren, for all of your thoughtful questions and time with us today.
My pleasure. Before we end, I just point out that listeners can go to the Kawartha Lakes website. It's online. And try out their municipal AI app for themselves. It's an interesting experience and quite encouraging.